Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around, grab your happiest thought, and let's fly away to Neverland for a very fun and special, but as we've done all month, short episode of the Neverland Podcast. Today I'm going to feature the audio from a panel from the Kansas City Comic-Con here in 2016. I have for you, and I've been sitting on this audio for a long time, John Schneider and Tom Wopat from the Dukes of Hazzard. That's right, they had a panel here, both of them together, and I recorded it. But I do want to bring up, before we go to some news, Rian Johnson vindicated his decision to have Luke Skywalker create what we now know is called a Force Doppelganger. It was in a book called The Jedi Path. I'm looking to go get myself a copy of this book from Barnes & Noble. It details exactly how this doppelganger thing works that Luke Skywalker did there to project himself to have a bit of a physical presence, but not really. It gives a little bit about that in the book, and I tell you what, this is going to launch all kinds of new discussion on exactly what all this Force ability might entail. But I really like that Rian Johnson did step up and show where he got an idea for something, and he's not just pulling things out of the air that are impossible in the Force, and hopefully it will silence a few naysayers about that particular one.
This is Gary Ganu, and the No Ganu's is Good Ganu's show, the only TV Ganu's program guaranteed to contain no Ganu's whatsoever.
Neverland news from the Disney parks.
We have a birth announcement in the animal kingdom there in Disney's Walt Disney World. A baby hippo. Isn't this wonderful? This was born. It's the first one they've had. It's a Nile hippopotamus. First one in 13 years. Born 10 p.m. Saturday night. Well, by Florida time, of course, 10 p.m. This is staying close to the mom, Tuma. And right now, they have not figured out the calf's gender. They're not going to be able to get the room, get around there for the weight and stuff like that right now. But typically, a newborn calf is going to weigh around 60 to 110 pounds. Could be anywhere of that. Of course, the animal care team is keeping back, so Tuma and her calf can nurse and bond and that kind of thing. So they are kind of being hands-off right now. But this is a big success for the animal care experts over there in Disney's Animal Kingdom. This is also part of of the Species Survival Plan, which is also overseen by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. So this is a vulnerable species. It's got a declining population. So this is a big deal. This helps with the conservation efforts and sort of education on Nile hippopotamus for people who are going to go and see these creatures. Now, if you've ever been to Disney's Animal Kingdom and Walt Disney World, they have a lot of hippos. You can go on the Kilimanjaro Safari ride and see a lot of hippos in pools. But this being a Nile one, the Nile, I'm not sure where the Nile River is. I don't know if that's in Africa or part of me wants to say that's in India, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, I'm not an expert on these things. So I don't know if this is a very particular type of hippopotamus, being a Nile hippopotamus. So I don't know exactly the major significance of that. But there are some pictures on the Disney Parks blog. It's adorable, this little hippo, tiny little thing. We don't know if it's male or female yet because they can't get a hold of the animal yet until it's, you know, been nursed for a while and bonded with mom. So, and plus, you know, you don't want to get on the wrong side of a hippopotamus. But this is really, really cool. And if you're looking to visit the parks perhaps over the summer, I'm pretty sure this baby will be on display for your viewing pleasure. This is a bit of a special interest story that I uncovered, as you would say. I didn't know really much about this, but if you go to DisneyDreamAcademy.com, you can find the list of 100 students that were selected and probably how to apply for next year. If you have a high school student, I believe of color is the key thing that they're looking for here. This is something that's kind of helped brought on by Steve Harvey and Essence Magazine working with Disney. And what they do is they choose 100 high school students to come to Walt Disney World in March and get a little bit of a behind-the-scenes view of the parks to try to help encourage them to dream of different types of jobs that they might look into. It's a four-day program. This is the 11th year, actually, it's been going on, and I wasn't really familiar with this. If I've ever gone over it in the past, I am not remembering it right now. But this year, the campaign is being called B100, and so this is supposed to inspire these students, and they're going to, like I said, come to Disney Park in March. They're going to meet with Steve Harvey, I believe, here at the Walt Disney Resort. That way, you know, he's kind of a motivational speaker for celebrities, and so he's going to help motivate them. But some of the students actually got to go on Good Morning America on Monday this week and be revealed to them that they were going to be selected as part of the 100, and they had Mickey Mouse out there and dropped confetti on him and stuff like that. So, but this is really trying to reach into that community and help, you know, young students, you know, high school students, imagine and dream what they could become and rise above maybe where, you know, they think they're at in their neighborhood or where they think they might be being held back. You know, let them look ahead and say, you know what, I could become this. I just have to work for it and dream it and do it. And so that's a very, very cool thing. And it definitely seems to be aimed at the African-American community coming through Essence Magazine. So it seems a little bit limited, but you know, I guess if you're targeting a certain area, that's what you do. And, you know, we're happy for any students that really get that opportunity to go look and dream and do something really special. And I hope that this is the beginning of some wonderful new careers for these students, that they do look into doing something different. Because, I mean, it took me over 30 years to really decide on what I wanted to do with my life. And it really started with the podcast. And now here I am at university at age 40. And I'm now living the dream here, talking to you all, listening to the show. So it's very important to dream bigger, come up with something different and unique, something you may not have thought about doing, and, you know, and pursue it. And so, you know, kudos to these 100 students. I hope that you are inspired by this in March, and look forward to hearing some sort of amazing, magical things that you might do in the future.
What would you do if someone famous had lived nearby? And this person wasn't just famous. This person changed the way we saw entertainment forever, and they drew inspiration from a place not far from your home. At the Walt Disney Hometown Museum in Marceline, Missouri, you can see rare and unique items donated to the museum by the Disney family in 10,000 square feet of immersive galleries. And as of March 1st, 2018, the museum is open year-round. Find the inspirational story of Walt Disney by visiting waltdisneymuseum.org and plan your trip today.
To Disney and beyond!
But he's promised he'll bring barbecue and beer, not for everyone.
No.
Right.
Well, yeah. At least we're not here on the stage, right? Absolutely. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm John Schneider. I think that was your part. But, yeah. You know, it's like you've done this before. Yeah. Just a second. Who's that crying over? There's no crying in baseball. I'm very blind. I wish I said it. I did not say it. There is no crying in baseball. Hey, I'm going to do a photo of you all, if you don't mind. Ooh, that's bright. You're on a Panavision photo, or whatever they call that, panorama. There. So, does anyone have a question? Or maybe Tom will get it.
We do have a microphone set up.
I can speak for Tom.
You guys have hung out enough together over the years. You probably know all of his answers.
I know his answers.
All of his answers, Jeff. Yep.
And I know what he should say because it would be wittier than what he does say. If anyone has a question, please raise your hand or jump up to the microphone. You want to jump?
Well, I'd go to the mic, okay. Except for I've got the camera.
Okay.
I was wondering if you're still doing anything with your singing career. I remember when I was a kid, we went to Worlds of Fun here locally and saw you in concert.
Thank you for that. I do music. I have a film studio, at least I had until this morning, a film studio in Louisiana. And what I do is I put music into the movies that we make. I find a lot of it, and then I try to, occasionally I'll try to write something. I'm realistic enough to realize I'm a much better song finder than a song writer. But that's really the extent of it. Wopat and I do concerts occasionally. We're doing one on December 10th in Gulfport, Mississippi. And that's a lot of fun. It's a Christmas one. You can watch he and I in a Christmas concert from my barn at JSS. You can grab a hold of that at CineflixFest.com. Oh, I'm sorry, Cineflix DOD stands for Digital On Demand. So you can see that. And I'm going to do a live concert next Thursday night from somewhere. I'm not sure now, but from somewhere with a buddy of mine named Joe Hudson, his guitar and me and two stools, and we're just going to do a nice little live feed concert on, I think it's called Wowza. And you can also find that on Cineflix DOD. And DOD stands for Digital On Demand. Why Hollywood still calls it Video On Demand, I have no idea. Because
yeah.
Video has not been, except for, now yours is a new video. Yours is on a chip, right? Yours is digital.
Yeah, it's digital.
Yeah, there's no video. There's no video in baseball. No,
digital video.
What are they talking about? So that's what I do with music now. Toured with music, did a lot of it. I loved it. I enjoyed it. But I'm more of a filmmaker, more of a storyteller. And truthfully, all my great friends from country music have passed away. So I've got no love for the travel of it anymore. Just listen to Conway Twitty, Night Before Last. Wow, what an amazing talent. Listening to Johnny Cash, listen to Waylon, great stuff. So I miss it, but I don't see it in the future other than just in the movies.
Did you have much interaction with Waylon on the show?
Yeah, Waylon came to, after the first couple of years when Waylon, we did I can't remember the name of the show, it wasn't Find Waylon Jennings, but there was an episode where Waylon had a traveling museum, and it got hijacked.
As it happens.
As it happens in Hazard County, yeah.
From time to time.
Jimmy Carter's limo, Waylon Jennings' car, or museum. So it got hijacked, and then we wound up, that's the first time we actually met Waylon, and then he would come around from time to time. It was great, great, great guy.
We saw his hands for so many years, and finally got to see him.
I know, right? He don't understand, he keeps showing my hands, and not my face on TV. Well, he did not have a face for TV at that point. He did later. He got really handsome as he got older. It was cool. Yes, anyone? What are you, yes?
I'll go to the microphone.
Thank you.
Well, this is really a pleasure, Mr. Snyder, and I actually just watched the first season of Dukes of Hazzard this past year. My father-in-law was in the nursing home and enjoyed old shows from the 70s, 80s. Dukes of Hazzard was at the top of his list.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank
so
you.
One of the things I noticed watching it again is, especially the first couple episodes, it was a little edgier right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we've obviously followed your career through Smallville, as I'm sure most people here have, and your music career, and I've actually enjoyed some of the faith-based films
that
you've done recently. And I wondered if maybe you could just kind of talk about that transition career-wise, as you know, you seem to have even kind of gone a little bit more family-friendly as your career has gone on. Is that intentional, or is that kind of just...
Then you haven't seen the movies we make.
I might have missed one or two.
Well, yeah. There's one out right now called Like Sun, and you can get that at the Cineflix, or you can just go to likesunthemovie.com. I'm always up for a really good story, well told, and the slew of faith-based movies that I did, I thought were very, very well-written scripts, and they just happened to come my way. It was interesting. I think because I had done a couple of really, I'm very proud of the Hallmark movies, Come Dance at My Wedding, You've Got a Friend, You've Got a Friend was about, not Pinewood Derby, Soapbox Derby Racing. Loved it. But I was hired to do those. I wouldn't have accepted them if I didn't think they were really good. October Baby, one of the best
absolutely.
I think truly one of the best faith-based films ever made. Really did. Loved October Baby. As did quite a substantial audience. But I grew up spending a lot of time with my grandfather, who worked at a funeral home in Mount Kisco, New York. I mean, I have a very different history than the history of the people that I have played for other people. So once I turned 50, the stories that I don't want to say the stories that I want to tell, but the stories I can't help but tell, they've been coming out. Like Sun is a story about a series of grisly murders in a rural part of Louisiana, where the father and son are both in law enforcement, and they both are damn sure that the other one is doing these murders. So, which obviously they can't both be doing it, so it's a bit of a crime drama. I tend to do things where people are realizing they're a lot more like their parents than they ever thought, and not necessarily in a good way. So I hope you'll give, if you want to know about me and not about what I do for hire, listen to my music, because I produced all those, but I picked all those songs because they meant something to me. Or watch the films that come out of John Schneider Studios.
Okay.
Because they are quite unique.
I will definitely check that out.
Okay.
And at the risk of sounding like I'm sucking up, I will say you are definitely, hands down, my favorite version of Jonathan Kent.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Roll back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
Did you bring enough for everyone? Oh, good. Thank you. If you're in Kansas City, you got a barbecue.
How y'all?
Hey!
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God,
there's a beer in here.
Oh, no. Well, yes, you go.
Is this big enough, this place?
Sorry, I'm late.
What?
But he brought stuff.
Give me that. I can't open it.
I got it.
What do you got? You got a church key?
I know, but
you got his key. What, are you going to open it on that cow's teat?
I'm from Wisconsin.
It comes prepared.
They're professionals up there, John.
Oh, okay.
Just saying.
Any other?
Thank you.
Any other questions? Oh, this is that alkaline water you promised me.
That's
right. How y'all doing? You having fun?
Woo!
The countdown. Yay! Any more questions?
I'm here.
Are we? What? Yes.
You.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah. How was it making Touched by Angel?
It was great fun. When you're talking about. Oddly enough, I was in, I think it was the 8th episode, and I played the devil. See? And then time passed. Right, and then in the, I don't know, what are you good? I was good. I was a terrible person. He was an awful person. Me and Craig Wasson, remember Craig Wasson from Bodybuilding?
Yeah, I asked him.
Glad he would have been. Bodybuilding, Brian DePalma. But that was great, a great time. Then I was in the last year, I did a 2-hour one with Randy Travis, where we were part of a traveling family Christian group that died in a bus accident. And Rue McClanahan was my mom. Yeah, it was great fun. Martha Williamson wrote and produced all those shows. It was fantastic. Did a lot for the state of Utah. Was very, very popular on CBS for years. So it was a great experience, a great show. So you can check those out if you want. But go see my movies. Because I really don't care about their movies anymore, you know? Why? I care about his movies, you know. You can do some.
I do movies.
I know, you do really good movies.
I'm gonna do a movie with him pretty soon.
With who?
He doesn't know.
Him.
Me?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, cool.
Surprise. Surprise! We're charging supplies. Surprise! I don't remember the joke, but that's the punchline. Yes, you. And you're next.
Okay.
You can even just stand in a line there at the mic if you want. Look at that order, just like they do in Canada.
Which one of you is the better singer?
Oh! You can't go there. He's got a better voice.
He's a better singer.
There's the difference. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
John, with your studio, do you take outside scripts?
Do we what?
Take outside scripts?
No.
Unless you know. If you pay.
We'll help you make your movie if you come with a budget. But no, I've got, we've done 6 now of mine, I've got 20 more. And I'll be lucky to live long enough to do mine. And I made a promise to myself after 50 that no more spending. One of these days I'm going to die telling someone's story and I want it to be mine.
But you do help people.
Sure. Oh yeah, it's a great place. But you have to come with your own budget. We'll help you spend it properly, but we won't put any money into it.
So basically you have to find a producer.
Well, I have to find the money. You have to be financed.
I'm asking for my husband.
Well, that's good, but you've got to be financed. That's part of it. It's part of the fun anyway. I mean, doing that is great. No one is going to. I tried for years to get people to bless my notions and my ideas and make my movies, and the answer was no. So finally, I said, okay, well, I'll make my own, and there I am.
Do you have a website?
JohnSnyderStudios.com.
Awesome.
Or Cineplex DOD. Yeah, we have a film festival too. Helping to encourage independent filmmakers, but not by spending money on them, by providing an opportunity for them to be able to show their films.
Somebody's got to ask me a question, because he's going to have a bite.
Go.
I do have one for John, but Tom, I want to tell you, when I was probably about 5 years old, you came to the Daryl Starbird Rodden Custom Car Show in Wichita, Kansas, and sang.
Oh my God.
And that was the first time in my life I ever saw General Lee replica there too, so it was a little five.
I was at the Kansas State Fair a couple of times too.
Yeah, I never knew
that. That was so much fun. We had a big time. You guys go to the fair?
Yeah.
The fair is cool. I'm from Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin State Fair is just a huge deal there.
Do they not give napkins with barbecue here?
Oh, John.
Here's my shirt.
Right here, I've had it since it came out.
That does not a movie make.
You are an investor.
Yes, you are. You're an investor. But
who
else? Anybody want to jump
appreciate
up?
It.
Don't be shy.
Got another one.
Yeah, what do you got?
Although I'm stationary. Huh?
What's that?
Actually, I'm stationary, though, with the camera. I've heard a rumor that the sliding across the hood of the General Lee actually came from attempting to jump over to the other side.
Kinda. It was an accident. And you'll see it in the opening credits where I run down the hill. That's from the second episode. That's from Daisy's song. And we're making our escape from the recording studio. And the thing was that I was coming down and
in rehearsal.
There you go, John. Thank you. And those are cute, aren't they? So what I did in the rehearsal was I planted my heel on the fender and then jumped across. And when I came down to plant my heel on the fender, my heel went whoop, and I went skidding across the front, and there was about that much of the antenna left, and it gave me about a 4-inch scar right there. But it looked great. I mean, it was right into the camera, and so we ended up doing it a lot. It was a lot of fun. We scratched up the hood a little bit, though. Who else?
Yes, I'd like to ask about working on Django Unchained. Do you have any remarks to that?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I was just going to ask if you could recall working on Django Unchained for us.
Oh, no, I'm only 64. Yeah, I don't recall. Now, the thing is, there's a backstory to it. Because back in the day, when Tarantino was working at the video store, that like everybody knows he did, he would come up to Burbank on Thursday nights and attend James Best, who played Roscoe, would attend his acting class. So he would come up on a Thursday night and go to the class.
On a bus.
Yeah, on a bus. Yep. And then Jim would let him sleep in the classroom, basically, there in Burbank. And the next day he would come to the set. And this is when, I think he's 18, 19, something like that. So anyway, he had this little bit part in the show, in the movie, and they called my agent and asked if I'd want to audition for it. So I showed up in my black jeans and my black hat and my black boots and basically did the scene for them. And it went great. And then when we shot it in a day. And it was so much fun. The thing with Tarantino is he shoots film. He doesn't shoot digital. And it's really exciting. It's like the old days. And he sits right by the camera. He's not over in Video Village 100 yards away. So working with him, and it was a scene with Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz, and they were both terrific. The scene's great. He left it all in. It was the most fun I've had since Deuce. So yeah, thanks for asking. It was a lot of fun. I got a picture. I got a limited supply of pictures.
Yeah.
From Django, and if I run out of the limited supply, I'll just grab another limited supply. So come by.
Come by your booth, and you guys have photo ops going on later today. Mm-hmm.
We do. We already took a bunch with the car, and I must say that these are some of the finest professional pictures that I've seen of us. I don't know what he's using for a screen, or if he's like photoshopping automatically, but it looks great. Yes, someone else. Oh, tippy-tippy. What's your name?
Jack.
Jack.
Right. Oh. Well, my buddy is head coach Irvis in college. Hard wrestling. We have middle of nowhere. Anyway, speaking of middle of nowhere, you guys have involved some projects with some great landscapes. How's that affected how you build your characters and your performance?
The landscape?
Well, we're talking about being in Longmire, being in Dukes, the natural environment for where you're shooting, basically.
The thing with Dukes, actually, was we shot most of them in L.A. And the first five were shot in Georgia, and I actually really like the look of those. They're a little more gritty, a little more like a real film. I think in L.A. it became a little cartoonish for a while, and that was unfortunate. Then, you know, in L.A.
We weren't there for those.
You got to paint the grass green because it's not
fire retardant.
In Longmire now, they make it in New Mexico, and that is breathtaking. That's the most fun. I always at least schedule at least one extra day so I can rent a motorcycle and drive around. But that stuff is great. Where's the best place you shot?
I love Louisiana. I just do. For me, it's about because we make films there, is about disguising the process as much as possible, not having a lot of people, not having trailers, and not having things that make you realize you're, from an acting standpoint, realize you're on a set. Because we're basically children and we're playing. Actors are playing some role and they're really enjoying it for these couple of minutes for this take during this film experience. And as a director, I like to, as an actor, I love to ignore the pomp and circumstance of what's going on. And as a director, I like to just get rid of it. Because I want to catch people enjoying themselves or in an argument or, you know, whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing. Because my belief is when all else fails, act. So we should believe that what we're doing, at least to some degree, is real and actually happening. The environment has a lot to do with that. At my place in Louisiana, there's cypress knees and cypress trees and beautiful, wonderful vistas and water.
Water
everywhere.
Water
everywhere. especially right now. But I think it's very important. That's why I don't like to just film on a soundstage. A lot of people like soundstages, but a soundstage is hard to believe what you're doing is real when you've got lights and walls that go away and a cappuccino machine sitting right over there and you're supposed to be starving in a hogan somewhere.
Think how many days we spent on the set though in a car pretending we were driving.
Sure. That's why I don't like to do that. Although I did just do that to Trace Lynch. Actually, we did a bunch of Blues Creek stuff.
Oh, good. We used to sing together a lot while we were doing that stuff, and we would just drive everybody nuts. But it was fun, and actually, fun. Dukes really.
But we're still singing the same way.
A lot of the same stuff, and you know, they would like blow up.
You didn't hear it, Tony. Just told me to shut up.
I didn't.
Shut up.
Shh. Ah! Did you shush me? So, you know, there was a lot of things you'd like to have guys with tree branches making shadows go over the car, and they would have a 4x4 under the front fender so they could make the car rock. It was fun. It was fun. It was make-believe, but it was a lot of fun. Somebody said, over there.
Did either of you pick Jim Lee out with your rival?
Always. Always, always, always. I enjoyed that a lot. We had I guess it was a scene dock by the LA River there in Burbank, and it was a nice long stretch of concrete, and I had gotten the car up, whichever one happened to start with a screwdriver. a pair of alligator clips. 60, 70 miles an hour on the scene dock. But that was before the world went crazy, and now you can't, you can't do anything. They won't. Probably we couldn't. I don't think we could make the Dukes of Hazzard.
It would be really hard.
Yeah. Somebody would drive the car to where we're supposed to start, and you know, if they'd pick it up. I mean, it would be. It was a different day. There were many times where they attached the car to the. I'm sorry, the camera to the car, and gave us the slate, which is this marker.
We drive off by ourselves. No camera crew.
Yeah. No microphones and a camera.
We'd shoot the scene two or three times, come back, and they'd say, "How was it?"
It was perfect for Dukes. Must be good. The front right tire is flat, so it must have worked.
It was amazing. It was an awful lot of fun. And if you think about it, I mean, those of you who are of a certain age, before we did the Dukes, starting in 79 through 85, you never saw a car commercial where the car got in the air. You never saw a car commercial where they peeled out or where it slid sideways. None of that stuff ever existed in commercials until we did it. And our guys were
yes. Those that are still kicking. One of our guys has done all of the second unit stuff for Fast and Furious. All of them. Jack Kill has done all of those. Corey Eubanks is one of the. I think he worked with Michael Bay and did all of those great BMW commercials years ago. He's Bob for you really old folks like us. Bob Eubanks from the Newlywed Game. His son. Done a lot of stuff with Baxley family. What's that?
Craig.
Craig Sr.?
Baxley.
Oh, Craig. I'm sure he's directing stuff. He did Action Jackson. And I think he directed Second Unit on Perfect Storm.
Oh,
But anyway, the Dukes folks went on to do a lot of things. A lot of things, and they're still those that are still kicking are still kicking strong.
We scared a couple off, John.
I know, but you didn't scare. It's okay. I know, you gotta use the restroom at some point. Yeah. See ya. Who else? You give up? No, what up? Excuse me? Do we what? Do we talk
to
you?
She's here all the time.
Yeah, she's been working on a soap opera, The Young and Useless.
The Young and Restless.
And, the Old and Useless, did you say? Young and Restless, I asked her which one she was.
Which one?
So we're going to actually be working with her in about a month. We're going to be in Salt Lake City. If you feel like driving.
Hey,
it's a pretty beautiful town.
It is.
Beautiful town.
Go by the Salt
Lake City record. What's up?
About how many General Lees did they need to keep on set? Because I heard that they would, when they would jump it, they would end up wrecking it when it landed, so they'd have to swap out to another vehicle. So about how many did they keep around?
13. Always 13. You had 13? No, they had 13 ready at all times. 13. And we went through 329. Wow. No, stop it. And then there were 16 in a field that a guy named Wayne Wooten, I don't know what I'm talking about. A guy named Wayne Wooten talked the talked Warner Brothers and the Values 8 Brothers out of, and those were ones that were ready for next season, but there wasn't a next season. So it's arguable whether or not any of those cars were actually in the show. Probably a couple, but impossible to tell. And at that point, they'd already been sitting out in the heat
weeds
for 10 years, in weeds, right next to Boss Hogg's only Cadillac. I think we only had
There one. Was only one?
I think so. Gold inside the trunk and white outside.
Wow.
Now, sir, boys.
There was only one because you never let you guys drive. How do the two of you explain that you on Longmire, you on Dukes of Hazzard, both of you on Dukes of Hazzard, how do you guys end up in such underpopulated but crime-ridden counties?
Just love it.
Don't have anything to do with the two of you.
Well, you know, actually, you know, the crime, especially in Hazzard County, was kind of approximate anyway. And there was a lot of times where it would be outsiders bringing their scheme in. And there was a number of times, and I've always been proud of it, that Bo and Luke would rescue Boss and Roscoe from some scheme that went askew.
Yeah.
And that I thought was a really important part of our show, is that even though they constantly contrived to try to get us in jail, we loved them.
So you gotta love your enemies just like it says you're supposed to do.
Exactly. And they would come to our rescue occasionally too if things really got bad.
As far as Longmire goes, I'm surprised that county wasn't depopulated.
He's a great guy though, I tell you. Bob Taylor, the guy who plays the Australian, who plays the lead, a really, really nice man. And the thing that people don't know about him is that he bought a bunch of land in downtown Sydney in Australia, and they made a garden for vegetables for homeless people and stuff like that. And it's huge. It's 2 or 3 acres, and it's been there for 25 years. And he's like the boss. He's the head of the council for that thing, which is really cool.
When you guys work with Kathy Keller, we wish you could come here too.
All right, I'll warn her that you were here. Sir?
I have two questions.
Sure, good. Two.
One, right. How has technology affected your creative process?
I'm sorry, what was the first one? I'm sorry.
How has technology affected
the creative process? In a negative or positive way?
Well, to me, let me just, because this is topical. I get.
Is it like a salve?
Well, I got a really nice audition piece about 3 days ago. And now, from my agent, what they say is self-tape. Which is like, okay, either on an iPhone, or maybe this, or something like that. It's like, the process has become something like reality TV. And to me, that takes a couple of really important pieces out of the process. A casting director, a professional person taking the pictures of what's going on. And the same thing in voiceovers, which I do a lot of.
my agent had a studio right in their agency where we would go in, and they have a guy that sits there as a technician, an engineer, and he would help us get the best take we could get. But now everybody does it at home. So I think what I wrote them in a text yesterday was that I said, you know, the thing that worries me is that there's a lot of really fine voiceover actors and really fine actors who are being kind of pushed to the sidelines because they can't deal with the technology. And I think that's basically true in most of show business, is that there are a certain number of really artistic people who just, that's not part of their deal. Artisticness and artistry and tech don't naturally go together, probably the opposite. And so I worry about that a little bit.
I think technology is fantastic.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have this last film that we did is called Tres Leches, about three guys, 25 years old each, who get hired to drive a car from Baton Rouge to the Philippines for 50 cents a month because it's the water's deep and there's hardly any gas stations. It's a comedy, it's a road comedy, and the ability to be able to put a 1972 Vista Cruiser, Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, in front of a blue screen and shoot these jokers for a day like we used to do and get all of their stuff in one day and part of one night, and then be able to go out with this phone and shoot plates. When we did Dukes, the plates were actually projected. It was called rear screen projection. So whatever we filmed is what we got. So occasionally when you'd see the cop car behind us, that was timing and projectors, and it was a pain in the butt. But now I can go with this phone and I can go out there and shoot plates for blue screen, and I can put my Three Milks, Tres Leches, anywhere in the state of Louisiana at any time, day or night that I want, later. That is invaluable to me as a filmmaker. So I think it's great. But I agree with Tom on the other part, and that's why I'm not getting any voiceover work anymore, is likely because I don't have that guy. This is, John, I don't have a director directing me in a voiceover audition. I'm just going, you got to try Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
I like it. You're on.
I know. I've been doing that for a while. But yeah, so I agree the technology does not necessarily jive with an actor. He's more of an actor and an artist. I consider myself more of a filmmaker. As a filmmaker, I have got to embrace all things technology in order to continue to be in the race. So go to CineflixDOD.
I'm good. Where is it now?
CineflixDOD.
Okay.
What's your second question?
What is your favorite episode of
How do you spell Cineflix?
CineflixDOD.
Flix.
I thought it was a Flax. Flix. No, it's not a Cineflix.
Cineflix.
They're Flix.
Cineflix what? DOD?
Flix.
Is there a period in there somewhere?
CineflixDOD.com.
Okay, got it.
What is my favorite episode of what? Longmire?
Smallville.
The one just before he got in here. Favorite episode of Dukes?
Smallville!
Smallville! Honestly, thank you. No thanks, I've already had my coffee. My favorite episode is the one where I died. Yeah, I know.
What?
It was a great episode. It's a wonderful episode. And somebody asked me earlier today what my favorite moment in all of Smallville was, and it's in that episode where Clark is looking at the recently deceased Lana on the road, and me as his dad run up and grab him and turn him around so that he can't see her anymore. And in any other kind of a movie, that's a noble thing that a dad did to his son. But if you really buy into that this is Smallville and this is Clark Kent, then what it's really saying is that I'm the only human being strong enough to turn Superman around and have him not look at something that will hurt him, not because I'm the strongest being in the world, but because I love him, because he's my son.
Because he's his dad.
And I love that. Don't diminish what I'm saying.
Right here.
So that's my favorite. My favorite. My second favorite is the one he did. Film Festival, Digital On Demand. That's the film festival. What, do you have a film?
This is all you.
Do you have a film to put into a film festival?
Shit, yes.
Well, then put it in there. Okay. Another, yes, you. Hi.
That's me.
You have a question for Tom?
This is for both of you. When you guys worked on the Dukes cartoon series.
I'm trying to remember that.
No, go ahead. Did you guys, were you just individually by yourselves in recording booths?
Were we individually by ourselves?
Were you by yourself in the crowd? No, were you in the booth by yourself, or were you all like together in the room doing dialogue?
I don't remember. I think we were like this. Yeah, I believe we were like this. We didn't do that for very long.
Yeah.
Do you know that we have a little bit on what is it, not Beavis and Butthead?
Phineas and Ferb.
Phineas and Ferb.
We're a couple of yokels.
We're a couple of country yokels.
Ah, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I did that. I think I did. I did. Why? I don't understand. Yeah, it was fun, and I mean, the folks, it was really cool working, because we did that at Hanna-Barbera, so it was really great working with the...
Started without us, though.
They did, they started without us, and they had Sorrel. Once you have Sorrel Book, you don't need anything else. Sorrel Book, who played Boss Hogg, was amazing. Amazing. Okay, go ahead.
Are we going to interrupt him?
I'm like surfing the net.
I have a question for John. What do you think of Tom Welling?
Me?
Yeah.
That would be you.
Tom is great. I think Tom really is the quintessential Superman. Quintessential Clark Kent. I mean, he's only been Superman for a heartbeat. But I thought he was fantastic. He embodied everything that a young Superman needed to have. He was strong-willed. He was anxious to play football and do all that stuff. But he listened to his dad reluctantly. I think Tom did a fantastic job. The only bad thing about Tom Welling is he introduced me to the sport of golf. And two regrets in my life, one that I took up golf so late, and the other that I took up golf at all.
It's not pretty.
It's not pretty. See, I can't even hit that thing. Yes, Invisible Man.
Invisible Man.
Sir. Yes. Well, thank you. I
you had a very limited role in it, but when you did, I really believe that you were the character of that role.
There was a conscious effort when we started. One of the things as an actor, remember, I'm the guy that likes to minimize the stuff so that I can believe what's going on. I had teenagers at the time. My young Chasen was, I think, 13 at that time. And the first thing you have to believe as Superman's parents is that there's no such thing as Superman, because Superman doesn't exist yet, right? So you can't be raising the boy who would be Superman, because there is no such thing. So you have to forget everything you know about Superman. So there was a conscious effort on my part to raise young Clark Kent, who could throw a tractor over the barn, really as a special needs child, which is what he was. He had special abilities. My son is a special needs child, and I look at that rather than, I've never looked at Chasen as being someone with disabilities. I've looked at him as someone who is differently abled, who has incredible gifts, and we have worked on those gifts, certainly much more when he was younger, worked on those gifts rather than celebrate the differences as being something that puts you below average. Celebrate the gifts that will propel you to be something above average. And hopefully that is what my Jonathan Kent brought to Smallville. That's all I got.
All right, Rick, what do you got, Bob?
By the way, thanks for the Christmas CD last night.
I totally did, you know, you're going to really
and
enjoy
it's
it.
It's really good.
If you're really hungry, give it to your really can't stay. But John, it's cold outside. Gotta go away. I tell you, man, you're up to your ass in Snow Hunter. You're welcome, it's been so glad. Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to ask, what was the most ridiculous situation they put you two, the Duke boys, in?
This one, right here. I think there was one where we died. And, which is always a ridiculous, strange thing, but we were skinny dipping together, the two of us. Someone stole our clothes, so we have to go to somebody's.
Well, we left our clothes in the General Lee.
And
they stole the General Lee.
Stole the General Lee. But for me, the ridiculous part is that we're skinny dipping together. We're blonde here.
So we're out there splashing in the water, and then the car drives away.
Are you going to follow up?
It kind of explains the sonic's cold outside you two sang together.
She's a bro man. Wow. Hey, thank you all for coming. I'll have your hands up.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Yeah!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.